My name is Farrakhan. I'm an addict. And I want to thank God for being in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous and to be anywhere in recovery. For I truly thank him for this moment in time. For without his grace, his unmerited favor, a guy like me at the age of 63 will be standing here trying to share my experience, my strength, and my hope. I want to first thank this area, this convention, for not taking a risk, because when God uses you, it's not a risk, but for asking me and for asking us to come and share our experience, strength, and hope. And I want him to fill me up and remove me. Because, listen, this is called the fear meeting. You know, face everything and recover. Or face everything and run. So I got to make a decision, which one am I going to do? Which one have I done in the past? And at any given moment, if the situation don't suit me the way I feel it should, I might run again. See, when you got the literature in you, and when you got some principles in you, and you got some step work in you, and you got God guiding you, you ain't gonna never mess up. So I ain't scared about nothing. I ain't fearful, because I don't read this shit, I try to live it. You know what I'm saying? I don't just read it, I try to live it. Because listen, in my life, I've always operated off fear. I came from a place and time where you could put a sign on me saying made in America. You know what I'm saying? I came from a place and time where, you know, I couldn't do certain things. I couldn't go certain places. So I had to put on a certain image. I had to put on a certain facade. I had to do certain things to get through. You know how you go through a neighborhood that ain't yours, and you know how you put a certain walk on just to get through? You just trying to get through. That's all you're trying to do. You really ain't trying to act like you no tough guy for real. But the situation calls for you to face everything. And don't be fearful at that particular time. But as I kept on doing that, I began to lose me. And I began to put on characters and pick up characteristics that wasn't me. Because there's certain things that when I learned from my home that I was taught certain principles. But somewhere along the line, I crossed the line. Somewhere along the line, I began to take on a distorted way of thinking, viewing life from a distorted point of view. The literature talks about how I rationalize the outrageous nonsense to justify my behavior. I came in a time where they was talking about, you was too dark. People didn't want to be called black. They wanted to be called colored or Negro. If you call them black, you got in a fight. Don't call me that. And I remember putting on masks at an early age. I remember not feeling good about where I came from and how my family lived. Fearful that other people would see how my family lived. A big apartment, 4 rooms, but 3 of them closed down because there was no furniture in any of them. Sleeping on the floor. On a mat, not on a bed, but on a floor mat. And I'm quite sure some of y'all can identify with that. So always operating on fear. Always trying to get outside of myself. Always trying to be somebody else. You know, and I came from the time when they was doo-wopping. You know, really doo-wopping. You know what I'm saying? And then along came Motown. And at the end, I was like Marvin Gaye, what the fuck's going on? I was messed up at the end. I didn't know that there was a way out. I didn't know about this fantastic, sensational, marvelous program called Narcotics Anonymous. I didn't know about that. Listen, I came from the most, not just me, but like we can identify, but I came from the most turbulent times of the 20th century. I came out of the 60s. You had to have some kind of, you had to have something to get through the 60s. You had to dress like a certain kind of way. So I came up wearing the blouse, wearing the pack of sweaters, wearing the Playboys, the Dots, the Gators, the Saratogas. You know, the $9 popular sneaker was a Converse. You know, the number one car at that time was a Cadillac. If you had a real rail, you was cool, because I was pimping too. I'm going to get to that in a little bit. You know, I did all that kind of stuff because I had to get through. See, operating off fear, I had to get through. See, because I didn't like the way I lived. I came from farewell. I came from welfare. You know what I'm saying? I came from the yellow grits. You know what I'm saying? I came from the thick cheese that you put inside the grits, but the cheese never melt. I came from that, listen, that peanut butter in the can that'll tear a piece of silver butter up. I came from that. I came from the Spam in the can. That's where I came from. I came from wearing Brogan's shoes. That means my mother bought us one pair of Brogans, and those who are my age can know what Brogans is. They last the whole year. Matter of fact, they last 10 years. I'm talking about operating off fear at an early age, feeling less than, going to school, seeing other children who could get 5 cents, and at that time, cookies, if you had a nickel, or a dime, especially a dime, you was the man. Because in school, a dime would get you 20 cookies. Because it was 2 for a penny. Operating off fear. I didn't have no TV at home. So I went to my friend's house and saw the Long Ranger and Tonto and all that bullshit. Leave it to Beaver. You know what I'm saying? I came from that. I wanted to get out of that. I didn't feel comfortable with that. Because I always looked at myself as being less than. Because if you come up, like I came up with a single parent and no father in the home, and you see other children having those things, you feel less than. When I went to my friend's house and I seen them sit down at a table with silverware, even had a fork and a spoon and a motherfucking napkin. I didn't come out of that. That amazed me. I didn't come out of that. So I had to get away. And being the house environment wasn't pulling me strong enough, the outside environment began to pull me. So at 6 years old, I began to start doing some stuff. Like literature says, some of us knew that we had a problem long before we picked the substance up. My characteristics was eventually going to make me meet the drug. But long before the drugs ever came into play, I was hitchhiking the bus. I was fucking with the teacher's pocketbook like it was mine. I was lying. And I came from, even though I came from a single parent home, my mother taught us principles like, go to school, be somebody. Don't touch nothing if it's not yours. Take your hat off when you come to somebody's house. Call Mrs. Miss by her last name, not by her first name. If I call somebody there by their first name, I'll be looking at my teeth right now. They didn't allow that. So I came from a place, you know, that wasn't strange, but the way I looked at it was strange. Knowing that, listen, check this out. Lying about who you are. Not being comfortable with who you are. Wanting to be everybody else but yourself. Not wanting to get in touch with yourself, so you run. And so I saw the fly guys who wore the beaver caps. You know what I'm saying? The active scooters. The quarter fields. You know what I'm saying? We would go downtown to the Lansing Street. That's in New York, right? And we would till tap. Get some money, go uptown, and that time, long before Nicky Barnes, there was a guy uptown called Goldfinger. And we would go uptown to get them deuces and come back downtown. But hold up, before we stopped back downtown, we would stop on Broadway and 47th Street. That's where Layton was at. Because, see, we made money. See, we had to be fly. See, there was 2 dances that you had to learn coming up in my time. If you couldn't hustle, meaning a dance, if you couldn't Latin, don't fuck around. If I went to COCP, I had to have a Blaschop sweater and not the same one next week either. Had to have another lie. See, anything to get me outside of myself, I did. I seen guys pick up guns, so I picked up a gun. Not because I was a tough guy. You did it, me too. I came out of Bed-Stuy. I'm just trying to get through. See, I'm just trying to get through. And in trying to get through, I lost me. Didn't know how to face reality. Literature talks about how we, you know, get caught in the illusion. Making you think that I'm making right choices. And all the time my life is showing me, it's evident that I'm making bad choices. I'm going to jail. Spent 19 years of life in prison. I'm in jail talking about, watch my house, I'll be back. How stupid does that sound? How stupid does that sound? And then brag about you locked down and you bragging about you got the three best jobs. I work in the kitchen. I'm on the house game. But I'm real fly because I'm starched down. So listen, I'm in the laundry. I'm working in the laundry. So I'm swagging. I'm making plenty of money. But I'm locked down. I don't know the ugly side of addiction when the euphoria wears off. So I come back home. I get some more Playboys. I get some more dots. I get all that flashing all over again. Whatever the ladies think out, I get again. But never connecting the disease. Never connecting me getting locked down. Literally again, maybe it could be the drugs. Maybe it could be. It's a possibility, Farrakhan, if you back up a little bit. And I shot heroin for 27 years and sniffed it. I smoked crack 3 years, and that was that. Well, y'all wanted me to go first. Listen, when I used heroin, I went to the movie. I might not just see the movie, but I was in the movie. I got a haircut. I kept myself a little starched up because dope fiends, I don't mean no harm, but y'all crackheads fucked the game up. Dope fiends stay clean. Dope fiends stay clean. I'm sorry about that. We didn't pick up no cans. Fuck that. We got locked up. We picked no cans up. Nah, we got locked up. You know what I'm saying? And there's people inside this meeting, inside this room right now, know that I'm not lying, know my story. So I tell people, tell your story. Don't make one up, because there's somebody come in and tell your story for you. You know? So, I was fly. I went to the movie. I went to Junior's. You know what I'm saying? I went to the Apollo. You know? I saw the Motown Review. I might have was nodding, but I heard them. You understand, Ron? I might have been nodding, but I heard them. You know? And for 27 years, I didn't realize I had a problem. Because I came back and I got the stuff all over again. But crack has a way of introducing you to your real self. Here go a guy that got his clothes made. You know what I'm saying? Always came out tailored down. At the end, my pants were so short and my socks caught a fire, pants never know. At the end, here go a guy that was wearing Chunk Gaiters. And I'm talking about Chunk Gaiters when they were $65. And I'm talking about at the end, I was wearing Foot Fooders. Shoe at the top and no shoe at the bottom. I'm talking about living in fear. Operating off fear. I mean living real foul at the end. Not taking showers or baths unless I got caught in the rain. I'm talking about having a pocket full of money and won't buy no food but buy Lil Debbie's. I bought every fucking Lil Debbie you can name. I had. This man ate so many Lil Debbie's, if I see her, I'll kill her. That's how me and Little Debbie's I am. I'm talking about that's how I lived at the end. I'm talking about I didn't want to face nothing. Listen, I didn't want to face nothing. I didn't like myself. I didn't have the self-esteem that I have now about who I am. I love me today. I care about me today. I wake up in the morning and I look in the mirror and I say, look at you. You a pretty black man. You ain't, listen, nobody got to tell you that, Farrakhan. Tell yourself that. Because you might never hear from them. Tell yourself that. So I feed myself good accolades. I feed myself good information about who I am. Because I'm not that same guy that walked in the doors of Narcotics Anonymous 17 years ago. I'm not that same guy that came with shitty drawers. With pants that I kept on so much. Listen, when I laid down, they laid down. I'm a different guy today. Only through Narcotics Anonymous. We do recover inside here. This is a program of hope. The message is hope. That any addict, can lose the desire. Never use again and find a new way to live. I didn't believe that when I first got here. I just wanted to stop hurting. But I had people, predecessors, Linda S., Sharon T., you know what I'm saying? My first sponsor, Willie L., who told me every day, said, love yourself. Said, take care of yourself. Said, guess what? Said, you are the most important person. Said, your story is the best story in Narcotics Anonymous because it's yours. Said, don't never send no tape in and compete with nobody else's story. So everywhere I go, they ask me to come. I don't send no tape to go no motherfucking where. Ain't going to send no tape. If that's the case, I might never speak nowhere. You know why? Because this is a God-given program. And I believe that anything that God wants me to do, you can't stop it no way. You know what I'm saying? The doctors had me dead in 94 when I was weighing 50 pounds. Here it is 2010. The doctor might be dead. What I'm trying to share with you, when you do step work, it builds character. Step work is character building. It moves you towards God. It don't move you towards self. When you get to the 12th step, it says, now go back out there and give. You don't stand here and give each other only. Because guess what? Anything you do for me, you don't get no brownie points, no way. God has put you in a position to do that for me. When I came here 17 years ago, God had put Nisi and other people in my life long before I got here. Put my sponsor in my life. Put Abdul in my life. Put Melvin in my life when I first came around. Put a lot of people in my life, meaning that he had positioned people to pick me up and carry me through. He positioned people to go through certain illnesses so when I come and I find out I got one, I can get through it. Don't never ask why. Always ask why not. Because if God has not put a period, where's the question at then? This is the only program that, I have to say this, this is the only program that you come to, the older you get, the younger you look. This is a powerful program. You got to recognize where you at. You got to recognize who put you here. You got to recognize why you here. You got to recognize we have a responsibility. Those of us that get up here and share, and those of us that share out there, we have a responsibility. We have to give the proper information out. We have to remove ego, self-aggrandizement, self-centeredness, the core of my disease, that's telling you it's always about me. It told me that a little while ago. He said, these motherfuckers, man, ask me to go first. I ain't going first. But God said, I'm going to show you something. Yes, you will go first. But I'm saying that to say, but I'm saying that to tell you right here. When you know who's in charge, you submit. You submit, brother. Because if you don't submit, he'll make you sound like a fool up here. When you want to tell somebody, let him go first, let him go first, let him go first. Well, you might go second, sit the fuck down. You might sound stupid. You better allow your higher power to use you properly. Face everything and recover. Because guess what? The third step says no longer after the third step, you're by yourself now. You got a force that's indescribable that's going to be with you from now on. No matter what adversity that you go through, you got a power with you now that's going to lead you through. He's going to see if you really say what you say when you say you believe in him. He's going to put you in a position that nobody can bring you out but him. If you put the man before God, God will move the man. If you put her before God, God will move her. He's too big to be shared. He don't need us. We need him. You don't pray to God. He needs your prayers. You think by you praying to him, it makes him feel better? It should make you feel better. That you got the right kind of sense to know that there's some force out there that's greater than yourself. The third step says, get a God now. Second step says, a higher power. The third step tells you who this should be. Ain't you no more. Ain't your sponsor no more. Because every time you think it's somebody else besides me, I'm going to show you something. I'm going to show you something. I'm going to give you everything you asked me for. And guess what? I'm going to see what you're going to do with it. You want the woman? I'm going to give you the woman. But if you want the woman and don't put me in the relationship, it's not going to last. You want the man? I'm going to give you the man. And sometimes you think the man you think you're supposed to have is Mr. Right. And sometimes Mr. Right come looking like Mr. Wrong. But as you stay with him and you see Mr. Right being responsible, he might not look good. He might look... I ain't gonna get with her. I ain't get with her. I ain't get with him. But then as you stay with that person, and I'm trying to share something with y'all here. If you stay with that person and you see what they can do, and you ask them, you know how your sisters do, what he's doing. And he tell you what he's doing, you say, I might help that man. And guess what? You will fix yourself up for him. You start looking good for him. Why? He's being responsible. You know what I'm saying? You tell the kids, listen, the man's coming home. I got to fix myself up now. My man's coming home. Because he's responsible. I'm going to put on some nice perfume. I'm going to fix my hair. My man's coming home. And he's coming home and he's 2 blocks away. He smells the biscuits. He's 2 blocks away. Why? Because she's ready. Because your nature, sisters, all of your women, your nature is to love us. That's your nature. God made you that way. Now, you all might think I'm not sharing a topic, but you better think a little more. God made you all that way. But if I'm not doing nothing, if I'm not being responsible, no matter how good I might look, look begin to get ugly. She started putting on football gear. When you ain't doing nothing. Her nature is not to be with a man that's not doing nothing. If I'm lying, sisters, y'all tell me I'm lying. Stop me right now if I'm lying. Your nature is not to be with somebody that's not doing nothing. He think he's swinging good, he'll be swinging bye-bye. If he ain't doing nothing. Face everything and recover. So I didn't know how to do that. So I started hustling and pimping. I thought that was slick. Telling women lies, giving them stories. Telling them where I'm going to take them, and I know I ain't ready to go. I'm talking about playing with people's emotions. Because her nature is to love me, so now I'm playing on the love. I'm lying to her. I'm selling her pipe dreams. If loving you is now, and listen, if loving you is right, I don't want to be wrong. I was messed up, man. I was a real messed up person, man. But I came to a program and got some principles that I renewed. Because I came from a place where I had principles. The name I got, I didn't give myself that name. That name was given to me 23 years ago. But I was getting high at that time. And an addict know how to cover up real good. So I had principles for a long time. But I played on the principles. See, I didn't know about the ugly side of addiction. I didn't know about you can talk God, but guess what? If you ain't practicing God, disease got you. You can talk God all day, but guess what? If you ain't, listen, but you really ain't believing in that, it got you. and it had me. Didn't care about nobody. Had 15 children, didn't care nothing about them. I had to use, at all costs, I had to use. This is the only program, man, that you come to that make you understand that if you look at life and take your responsibility, your responsibility in it, your life will get better. My name is Farrakhan. Thanks for allowing me to share.
Thank you. Our next speaker is Roland Jay from Dallas, Texas.
I'm Roland. I'm an addict. Thank God for Narcotics Anonymous, and thank God for sponsorship. 25 minutes, you say? No problem. He's trying to fuck me already, trying to get me in fear. You know what I mean? And for me, I'm going to go a different place with this because, Farrakhan, you told my story. You know, I also am a 60s kind of guy, right? But my childhood had me in fear because my family was reputable. I lived in an all-Anglo neighborhood. But I always went to my grandmother's neighborhood in the summertime. So that means I always felt inadequate up over there with the Anglos, and I felt inadequate down there with the blacks. And by me being a fair-skinned kind of guy in those days, you know, I had to fight over here and I had to fight over here. And I always felt inadequate because I didn't have the stature that most people had. But I didn't understand that kind of fear, so I tried to compensate by being an overachiever. You know, I was a great athlete, right? I was a great student. You know what I mean? I went to the military and became a great killer. You know what I mean? I jumped out of fucking planes. You know, I did all these kinds of things based upon an inadequate feeling of me not being who I am. So when I got to Narcotics Anonymous, because everything that I did got me to Narcotics Anonymous. And when I got here, I come to find out that the only thing that I needed to get in touch with was why I felt so insecure and inadequate. You know what I mean? And I didn't get there until I went to a four-step. So my topic going to come from the four-step. You know what I mean? Because in our basic text or any It Works How and Why, it talks about really and truly what my problem is when I'm in fear. You know what I mean? He said, face everything and recover. You know what I mean? Boom, after I've been here for a minute, the definition of it changes. You know, for me, I've been here like 22 years, and any time that I'm in fear and I'm participating in it, I'm putting on a frantic effort to appear motherfucking recovery. Yeah. See what I'm saying? But for me, I understand that, right? So for me, I need to look to see really and truly what I'm in fear for. And I had an opportunity to talk to a young brother outside, and he was talking about this paralyzing fear that he had just experienced. You know what I mean? And right then, it took me all the way back to when she said she didn't want me no more. When she said she didn't want me no more, I got in fear because I just knew my best friend was going to end up with her. See what I'm saying? And I was wondering what y'all was going to be talking about me, about my best friend being with something that wasn't none of mine. See, but I thought she was mine. See what I'm saying? So when I looked at the whole picture, I found out that there's two types of fear that run my life at any given time. You know, it's the fear of not getting what the fuck I want, or the fear of losing something that don't belong to me no motherfucking way. So whenever I can get to that piece, you know, I can understand what I'm doing. See what I'm saying? But the reality of it is, right, is I've never achieved this healthy love for myself, right? And based upon my 8th year birthday party. And y'all listen to this real good. You know what I mean? My mother gave my first cousin the last piece of pizza. Okay, and from that day to 35 years later, I had a resentment at my mama over a fucking piece of pizza. See, and that was because I felt like she loved him more than she loved me. So if my mother loved somebody else more than she loved me, there was nobody in the world capable of giving me the love of my mother. So I was in fear all the time about my reactions to your actions towards me. See what I'm saying? But after I worked the 4-step, I found out that I always talked about the core of the disease of addiction. Selfies and self-centered. But all the time I worked on that stuff and it kept cropping up. You know, and our religion says the disease will always resurface. See what I'm saying? And until I get to the core of what you call the true nature of it, I'll still continue to experience it. Right? And what I've come to find out is my basic problem all the time with fears in order is active addiction without the use of drugs. Y'all don't hear me. Because the root of the disease of addictions is self-centered fear. See what I'm saying? Self-centered fear. I ain't gonna get what the fuck I've been telling myself I need. Or you ain't going to do what the fuck I tell you to do. You know what I mean? So I'm going to be a UFO from that. See what I'm saying? So whenever I can understand what's causing the fear, I can eliminate it. See what I'm saying? But thank God that you talked about God. See what I'm saying? And new people. If the word God upsets you, I want you to know that it's one of my understanding, and it does not come from theological elegance or doctoral adherence. See what I'm saying? Because I understand that this has to be one of my own interpretations. It's not my grandmother's. It's not my father's. It's not all the people that I come in contact with, because their God is not sufficient enough for me. So I understand, and I'm fearful of God. See what I'm saying? Because God always give me what I need when I need it. He'll never give me what I want when I want it. See? And so that's active addiction without the use of drugs. So when I look at the piece, really and truly have I taken an inventory? You know, and I'm talking about a present inventory. See what I'm saying? Because I don't know whether y'all like me or not. I know for a fact that my disease is progressive. See what I'm saying? So what I did yesterday, and it ain't going to keep me out of fear unless I'm doing the shit today. You know what I mean? And that's a firm foundation in the God of my understanding. But most of the time, if you like me, you'll give God away and you'll take it back. See what I'm saying? Based upon a broken third step. See what I'm saying? But for me, I have to look at it each and every day because still sometimes I can walk in the room of all these people that say that they love me and don't feel like I'm loved. See what I'm saying? Based upon character assassination, right? Based upon your woman looking better than mine, you driving a better car than mine, and me not having enough as much money as you got. See what I'm saying? That's an inadequate feeling once again because I ain't where the fuck I think you think I ought to be. See what I'm saying? But the reality of it is, I got everything that I need if he woke me up this morning, right? So based on that action, can I really and truly practice the faith that I need in order to overcome the fear? You know, I don't know whether y'all like me. It comes and it fucking goes. Y'all don't hear me? I'll give you a present situation, right? I'm 22 years clean. Work with a lot of people around the country. Y'all don't know me out here too much. But like I told another brother today, on the other side of the Mason-Dixon, every motherfucking body know me, Dr. Thomas. See what I'm saying? And that's because I believe in the program of Narcotics Anonymous. I'm an active member in the program of Narcotics Anonymous. You know what I mean? And I do like this gentleman was talking about. I have built my entire life around this program. So I'm homeless, I'm broke. You understand what I'm saying? I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Y'all don't hear me. And I'm 3,000 miles from home. But my ass is here. See what I'm saying? And it's by the grace of God. But I had to put a lot of action in that too. Because my sponsor taught me a long time ago. He said prayer without action is a fantasy. Our literature says when our fantasies are not fulfilled, watch how the fuck we act. You don't hear me? I become a UFO all over again. You know what I mean? I'm already 4-5 fries from a Happy Meal. See what I'm saying? So I need to rely on this God that brought me to the program. Our literature said the same God that brought me here is with me now. See what I'm saying? So I act. As if that he's doing what I want him to do. My third step decision said, when I get out and pray for something, I need to get up off my knees and act as if it's already taking place. Because I can't think my way in the right action. I got to act my way in the right thinking. Whenever I'm doing that, there's no longer a fear can be invading my life. And never will fear paralyze me again. Y'all don't hear me. Because I'm in a program of Narcotics Anonymous and I'm still taking steps. And I know that everything I do is based upon the actions that I take. See what I'm saying? I don't know whether y'all like me, but I ain't never had a good shit off the hamburger your ass ate. Just ain't. So I know I got to eat something for myself. See what I'm saying? But I do that by practicing principles in all my affairs. See what I'm saying? I say all my affairs. Sponsors told me a long time ago, if you can't practice principles in all your affairs, you better get rid of some of them goddamn affairs. And I believe in that. See what I'm saying? Because every time that he's giving me something to do, I practice faith by doing exactly as he shared with me to do. See what I'm saying? Because I come from that 60 era. I got here in 88. And back then, they didn't suggest nothing. They told your ass what to fucking do. See what I'm saying? You know what I mean? We didn't got kinder and softer today. But I'm here to share with you, if you don't do what somebody else tell you to do, your ass can't practice no faith in the program. Because our literature says we live by the example of those who have faced our dilemma and found a way out. See what I'm saying? So if I'm living that way, then I'm taking action, and what happened for them will happen for me too. See what I'm saying? But I got to get some second step evidence. See what I'm saying? Without the evidence, I still live in fear. Because it's still a fantasy. You know what I mean? I still don't know what's going to happen. You know, I'm still doubting this power that I tell y'all believe in. Because, you know, we're good God people. We are. Shit. Until something happened. Shit, when something happened. God. Why'd y'all let that happen? Yeah, I let it happen because that's the action that your ass took. See what I'm saying? So I don't blame all this stuff on God. And no disrespect, because everybody got their own belief. And thank God for the 10th step in Narcotics Anonymous. It says each one of us should come to an understanding of this program for ourselves. So the God that I understand don't test me. He give me opportunities to practice principles in order for me to become a better person. For me to get enriched with the surgery of the spirit that our literature talks about, in order for me to enhance the spiritual belief that I'm supposed to have. You know, it's 11 step stuff. It's called spiritual awareness. You know what I mean? So when I get into that, I understand that if I'm being spiritually aware every day, there's no room for fear. Just ain't no room for fear. But because I had the disease of addiction that's progressive, it always pops up. I'm talking about can be doing great. Any of y'all like me can be a spiritual giant. Bleak my motherfucking eye and be a stock raving lunatic. What about you? Based upon the fear that I'm in. Because the only time that I act out is because of uncertainty. I don't know what the outcome is going to be. And it looks like it's not going to be favorable for me. So I got to do something to make sure that the outcome become favorable to me. And that's selfish and self-centered. My motivations for doing things are all based in self. See what I'm saying? So when I start to look at the piece, I have to look at what it says in our step working guide. I'm on the East Coast, and I'm going to take a risk. No, I ain't going to fucking take no risk. I'm going to share with y'all what I believe. I believe in the Narcotics Anonymous step working guide. You know y'all got an AKA for that motherfucker over here. But it's the Narcotics Anonymous step working guide. I believe in that. And in the first step, it asks me, how is the disease active in my life today? Today. See what I'm saying? See, I don't understand. You know what I mean? It's always about today. See what I'm saying? Because I ain't got no issues. You know what I mean? I know some bunch of people out there got a lot of issues. See what I'm saying? But I have learned what issues are. You know what I mean? And so I'll share through an exploration of the inventory steps what I found out issues to be. Unresolved history. When I resolve my history, God damn it, it ain't no fear. See what I'm saying? I can't run around here operating on the past. See what I'm saying? Because every time I do, I don't have any present. You know what I mean? Our symbol talks about freedom. Right? Freedom from what? 22 years ago, goddamn it, after I got 90 days, I was as clean as my ass is going to be. For real, for real. See what I'm saying? So I need to get an active program of recovery. See what I'm saying? Through the active program of recovery, what I have found is that, boom, the only time that my life is discombobulated is based upon my motivations to have something outside of me fix me. See what I'm saying? And I don't know about y'all, I've learned that instant gratification is followed by immediate motherfucking pain. See? You know what I mean? And by me understanding that, I make a choice to experience God's perfect will being done in my life. Y'all don't hear me. And whenever I can embrace that, there's no fear, because God has always had something better for me than anything that I've chose on my own. Yeah. See what I'm saying? So when I look at it, why am I doubting, or why am I running around here in fear? Because as I said before, I'm putting on a friendly effort to appear recovered. I'm running around this motherfucker acting like shit don't happen. Like I understand powerlessness and acceptance. Shit, I used that shit for many a day not to do a motherfucking thing. But today I can't afford to do that. See what I'm saying? Because anytime I do that, I am denying my belief and trust in the God of my understanding. I don't know whether I brought y'all anything or not. But you know what I do know? I 12-step myself. That's all I got for you. Thank you.
Good job, Pop. Our next speaker is Little Mel from New York.
Hello, y'all. I'm an addict named Melvin. Hey, Melvin. You know, I want to congratulate all addicts staying clean just for today. You know, I'm a member of the We Have a Dream group of Narcotics Anonymous. We meet every Sunday night at 8 o'clock to help each other stay clean. We meet on 126th Street between Old Broadway and Amsterdam. That's right across the street from the precinct, in case anybody act up. And I mention my home group every time I'm asked to share my experience, strength, and hope, because when I first got clean, they told me to get a home group, not a home boy or home girl. You know, I want to thank this area for inviting me to share my experience, strength, and hope. And, you know, I really, you know, after listening to these two guys, didn't really know what the topic was. And to be honest with you, I really didn't give a fuck. Okay. You know, for a long time, I'm listening to these two guys. You know, they shot more dope than since I've been alive. You know what I'm saying? You know, I'm sitting here, right, and I said, I'm not even going to talk about the little fucking drugs I use, right? Farrakhan went so far back, I wanted to give that nigga a hug. Hear about most of those drugs that was going on until I got clean. You know, I want to share, right, like my clean date is 12/26/1987. Right? I got clean when I was 23. I'm coming up on my 23rd year clean. That's right. Right? You know, but I work a pound of program and the kind of guys I hang out with where we say no shorts. You can keep coming up all you want. What you got today?
Right.
So I got 22. And you know, like, you know, I'm just so happy to be clean. You know, like, I want to just like do this fair thing real quick, right? Cause I don't know about nobody else, right? That when I think about fear, right, I'm kind of like associate this with a spiritual opposite. You know, we got spiritual principles and then we got spiritual opposites. You know, fear is the opposite of faith. And when I don't have faith, I'm locked in fear. You know, like our symbol. In the beginning of our symbol, it got three words that explains our whole program. And it talks about simplicity is the key. You know, I'm not one of the deep motherfuckers. I ain't doing that. Okay. I'm not going to set myself up to drown. In a sea of spiritual principles.
Go ahead, Mama.
So, like, I'm going to tell y'all, like I associate fear, like I'm still, like, connected to simplicity. Like when people use words, I kind of, like, make it understandable to me. And when I got a dictionary and I used some of the words in Narcotics Anonymous, I brought it to its simplest form, where I can understand it. Now, I don't want to talk above nobody's head where nobody understanding the shit I'm saying but me.
That's right.
You ever been there in a meeting and motherfucker sharing and the only one understand what the fuck they talking about is the speaker? Because this disease loves intelligent people.
That's right.
So, like, a lot of the things that I challenge my fears to be able to come up here and give you guys just me. Yeah. Unrestricted.
That's right.
You know, like, you know, I ain't, you know, I come from a family, right? I was the youngest, right? I was the youngest, right, out of five boys. You know, I hear people talk about, you know, they was the black sheep of their family. Well, I got a whole family of black sheeps. Everybody in my family use. I think my sister's still the oldest practicing crack addict in the neighborhood. You know, but I just want to share, right? Like, you know, when I think about fear, like I was always a scared little joker. I have five brothers, and growing up in the images of my brother, you know, because I had one brother, he was a lover, and you know, the girl used to hit on me. I ain't know what to do with them motherfuckers, you know. And then I had one brother, he used to know karate, and he used to fuck everybody up. And so, like, when he wasn't around, they'd be, let's kick karate brother ass. I be going to school with my book bag, niggas just come out, I had another brother who was good with his hands. He come out of the penitentiary, and you know, he was good with his hands. You know, back in the day, they used to call, used to be, you know, 52 block. Back in the day, you know, with the hand game, and when he wasn't around after boxing with niggas, they'd be like, "Put your hand up, shorty." So I'm so glad I got clean. And listen, and the shit that I just told you about had nothing to do with drugs.
That's right, that's right.
That shit ain't had nothing to do with drugs. I needed to get high. Niggas kicking and hitting on me and shit. I needed a one-on-one bag. Just to numb the pain.
Oh, shit.
You know, by the time I got to Narcotics Anonymous, everything I knew about living almost killed me. So I got into this program and y'all talked about, like, not using. You know, that's one of the greatest fears, that you can never tell an addict to abstain from all drugs. You know, because it takes courage not to use. See, what happens is that we forget what it was like the day before we got clean. You know, because, like, a lot of us are clean now. See, we forgot what it is. So, like, we tell people, don't pick up, like it's some shit, like, because we already not picked up. But I wanna just, like, slow walk back to that day before we got that one day.
That's right.
how afraid we were to fathom the idea of not having nothing in our system.
Go ahead, man.
I don't know. It's been 22 years, but I remember that just like yesterday. I was fucked up. Look, I was making meetings. I had 6 months clean going to meetings when I realized I couldn't have nothing. So listen, you mean to tell me that you can go to meetings, not pick up, and still don't surrender? Yeah. Because I was going to meetings. I ain't surrender. I surrendered when I had 6 months. I was at the coffee pot with my sponsor. And I realized that I couldn't use drugs. I was fucked up. I looked at my sponsor. I said, yo, Rick, man, you mean to tell me I can't have nothing? I had 6 months clean then. Because I was just practicing what y'all was telling me. Don't pick up and go to the meeting. Don't pick up and go to the meeting. That's what, you know, I was just going. Well, I ain't believing that shit. But 6 months then, I realized I couldn't use nothing. I immediately felt sad. I went back and sat down. I ain't want no coffee. I ain't no cookies or nothing. Don't touch me in this motherfucker. Looked at me and said, what's the matter with you? I said, man, I can't get high. Fuck you mean what's wrong with me? And, that's some serious shit, man. You know, I'm talking about the surrender piece. Because it's until you surrender when you're going to find the relief that it takes to recover. You got to surrender. I'm talking about a heartfelt belief. And in surrendering, that brings about a fear in itself. Now you become from the aggressor to the victim. Yeah, because now you ain't out there, you know, ripping and running. Now you got to avoid people, places, and things. Like my friend said, you become the sucker-ass nigga now. Motherfuckers is hanging and slinging on the block and you got to cross the street. What are they going to think if I cross the street? Cross the street and find out first. Because really, people ain't really paying us no mind. They busy with the motherfuckers that's copping. So, like, you know, I went, this fear piece go a long way because it comes from that piece of not using to your everyday life. Because you're going to experience things in your life that you're just going to be afraid of. You know, fear is a human emotion. It's a human emotion. I hear people talking about, I ain't got no fear. Thanks for sharing. I am still afraid not to use. I haven't lost that fear. I'm still scared to use. I got 22 years. I'm afraid to use. You know why? Because I met a dude in this program, and about my 15th year clean, you know, he had picked up. And he said he picked up because he wasn't afraid to pick up. He lost the fear of using, and he used again. I said, oh, I'm still scared then. That shit. Look, man, you got to make sense of this shit here, man. This shit ain't deep. Like I said, this is simple. Either you afraid or you ain't. Because if you ain't afraid to use, go ahead. People say stupid shit and it ain't now. Like, it ain't about the drugs. Well, have one. My friend said a small sip of Wild Irish Rose will fuck your life up. So, like, I don't use no matter what, under no circumstances. I go through shit, I'm still afraid of a whole lot of shit. Got a lot of fears going on with me. You know, I've been cleaned by God's grace, journeying through the steps, and every time I go through the steps, you know, one of my greatest fear is having a sit-down relationship with my sponsor. Man, let's talk about that. Because that's, you know, fear, because a lot of us talk about sponsorship. A lot of us talk about sponsorship, because my sponsor do shit like, I go to his house, and he say shit like, take your shoes off. Because, like, look, I guess he figure if I take my shoes off, I won't run so fast. And then my sponsor got this couch in his basement. And it's called the Respicare couch. It's a healing process that happens when we go down there. And every time we go down there, it's always a surgery of the spirit. I always come out of there feeling better than I went in. And check this out. And even though that happens, I still struggle with getting down here.
Wait.
See, a lot of people won't share shit like that. They don't want to share on the steps. Yeah, I'm a 12-step member, but I needed to be talking about getting down to that couch. Because that's the real shit that we need to do that we don't be sharing about. But see, because I'm a member of this program and I got a program which I believe that my life is at stake, that I have no secrets. I don't make special interest meetings. I go to all kind of meetings because my life is at stake.
That's right.
You know, so like you know, relationship with my sponsor is... It's rewarding, it's uncomfortable, you know, it's invitational, you know, but it's what I gotta do to stay alive. And no matter how many people I know, what I gotta do, I still gotta plug into what the program says, and I gotta be sponsored. See, a lot of us want to sponsor other people, but they need to share about their relationship with their sponsor. And I'm telling you, I'm talking about my relationship with my sponsor because, you know, I struggle with getting over there. Only because that my sponsor don't live in the area where I live at. He lives in another area. And when I go to get when I go to go over there, there's a couple of guys, right, that he sponsors that lives in the area. And it seems like every time I come to go over there to get with them, these motherfuckers just pop up. Now they live in the fucking area. And they're accessible to him at all times. So when I come over there, I really don't come over there to play Sponsee Brother game. Come to see my sponsor,
right.
Make an appointment to get me some Respicare, and get on back across the bridge. And you know, so a lot of days I call my sponsor and I tell him about me, and my sponsor knows that I'm a special project. Because I'm not, you know, because I got 12-step experience, I'm kind of like not needy. I'm not that dude. So I got a lot of people in my life to help me get through this process, but ain't nothing like sponsorship. And so, like, I got boundaries with people, man, and I kind of practice the program with a lot of people. Everybody who know me know don't fuck with the program. That's who I am. I mean, I laugh and joke, kiki, all that shit. You know what I'm saying? But don't fuck with the NA program because my life is at stake here. I didn't get clean for friends.
That's right.
You know, what I don't want to be is a member of this program and people say, you know, he's a nice guy, but he don't stand for shit. You know, I'm grateful for the principles of this program. And I fight tooth and nail to stand on principles. And to be a man of character and of substance. Because that takes a lot of work.
That's right.
Because, you know, I've been cleaning this program. There's some dynamite people in Narcotics Anonymous. You know, a lot of people say all kind of stuff. People in here are the same people out here. You here too.
Right.
You know, so be careful what you say. But like the people in this program are dynamic and sensational.
That's right.
And I don't know what kind of people y'all been hanging out, but I know that there used to be a book in school, and it says something like positives attract and negatives repel.
That's right.
So you got a bunch of fucked up motherfuckers in your life, you might attract them. But I got some stand up people in my life in this program, man. I'm talking about like even in my lowest times of not having faith, these people have showed me and done for me in this program where I sat on the edge of my bed and I had to question myself, would I be able to be there like that for somebody else? I'm talking about the soldiers of Narcotics Anonymous. These people, the members here. You know, I've been in a situation that I was so afraid. So afraid. That I couldn't even share how afraid I was. I would just go to the meeting because that's all I knew how to do.
That's right.
Couldn't change none of my circumstances.
Right.
All I had to do was just go to the meeting and sit there.
That's what you did.
You know, like a couple of years ago, right? I lost my eyesight. You know, I'm a diabetic. Right? And so I lost my eyesight, man, and we got a prayer in New Jersey, and it says that I place my hand in yours. And together, we can do something I cannot do alone. And when I lost my eyesight, right, from the diabetes, I couldn't see one foot in front of me. You guys showed up for me, man, took me to meetings every day. It's a little guy, right, from my area, right? Little homo dude, right?
Must be hurt.
He took me to meetings, man. I put my hand on his shoulder, and he sashayed me around his fellowship. You know, and I'm forever grateful for people like that, man. Because, like, if it wasn't for a guy like that, I wouldn't have been going to meetings, man. You know, it's something to want to go to meetings and can't get there. You know, because I'm a member that go to meetings every day. And when I lost my eyesight, my only concern was getting to the meeting. Because, you know, in the literature, it talks about, you know, the healing happens in our meetings. Not at home. And our basic text also talks about a sick mind consulting a sick mind about a sick mind.
Come on now.
And in times of illness, I need not to be reveling in those greatest ideas.
That's right.
I needed to be where the meeting was. You know, I remember calling Herman, right, and I was telling the man, you know, I was like, I want to go to the meeting. And I remember he was saying, like, no, there's nobody here, you know, to take you to the meeting. I said, well, you know, nobody here. He said, yeah, oh, such and such just came by. I said, well, Herman, you know, I'll fuck with such and such. And, you know, and then he was like, you know, he was like, well, what do you want me to do? He the only one here. Call me back when you make a decision. You know, I hung up the phone, man. I hung up the phone and I realized that, I'm in a hopeless state. I can't see, can't get to the meeting, and I had the nerve to have prejudices.
Come on, Mel.
And my, I'm only sharing this because this is my experience.
Yes.
That like a lot of times, we always talk about who we don't fuck with. Yeah. But if you fuck with God,
come on.
He gonna tell you. Okay. You gotta fuck with him.
That's right, that's right.
But check this out, right? I call Herman back, man, and he says, yo, listen, he come into your house to pick you up. A guy came, picked me up at my house, took me to the meeting. Check this out, y'all. And he didn't even stay for the meet. He came to take me to the meet. And I had the nerve to be in, put him in the square of me not fucking with him. So I want to share that with, share with you that we need to reevaluate our relations with people and why we don't fuck with them.
That's right.
Because I'm telling you, man, like this disease is serious, man. This is a disease of separation.
That's right.
This disease wants to separate you from others. Then it wants to separate you from God. Then it want to slow walk you in the dark room so you can develop all your negatives. And in that, because in that dark spot where there's no help, you're in a hopeless condition.
That's right. That's right.
So my greatest fear has been exposing this disease. You know, because this disease is powerful, man. It wants to tell you that you don't count, and other people don't count. I got a friend who just told me something. He says like the disease will tell you shit like we could use and nobody won't know. He said, Melvin, this disease is so powerful that it's calling you a nobody. Y'all get that shit when y'all get the tape. Seriously, man, this disease is powerful, man. It's the only disease that tells you you don't have a disease. This disease, yo, everybody, remember the exorcist? This disease is just like the exorcist. Remember when the two priests was getting ready to do the exorcism on a little girl? And they got to the top of the stairs, and they got ready to go in the room, and the priest stopped them and said, listen, I want you to remember one thing before we go in here. Don't listen to it because it lies. And I want to tell y'all the same thing about this disease of addiction. Don't listen to it because it lies. It talks to you in a familiar voice you love to hear. It's called your own. And this disease doesn't operate when you're around your recovering friend. It's a disease of isolation. Low self-worth. You know what I'm saying? And you know, like this is a powerful program, man. So, like, you know, like, I'm just, like, so grateful for Narcotics Anonymous that it can be, even though I have some spots in my personal recovery where I'm still afraid, that I can still talk about me being afraid and move in spite of my fear.
That's right. That's right.
Like, can I move and still be scared? Because it's all right to be scared. It's all right to be scared. Fear of the unknown. I don't know what to expect. Because I always want instant gratification. I always want good results. Because if it's bad results is up ahead, I'll take the other route.
That's right.
Let me just share this and go, right? Last year, November of last year, my kidneys failed. You know, bad enough I can't see. Lost my eyesight. Now my kidneys shut down. And they put me on dialysis. You know, so like, you know. And I'm not grateful for what happened, but I'm grateful for the principles that y'all gave me to instill in me to help me manage my emotions. Because I'll be on a dialysis machine 3 times a week, and every time they put me on that machine, you know, I'll be so afraid that I'm not going to come off that thing. I'll be on there for 4 hours. You know, I had to, you know, get an iPod you know, to put in my ear so I don't obsess over this machine cutting off. Because I'm sickening in there. Come here. You see this shit here? Yo, but it be just like my life is important to me. You know, I ain't one of Maddox who's ready to give up. I just started living.
That's right.
I want more of the good things that the program has to offer me. You know, so what? I'm on dialysis 3 times a week. You know, I went in there with ulterior motives. Went in there calling shots like, listen, I can't do this, I can't do that. And they was like, look, it don't go like that here. I said, listen, I got insurance. What do you mean it don't go like that? Well, I'll go somewhere where they appreciate my schedule. So they said, well, Melvin, you got to take this until we're able to give you that. I said, okay, but if y'all don't do it in a timely fashion, I'm going somewhere else. And, you know, and God, in his infinite wisdom, helped me to get a schedule that accommodates my lifestyle. You know, they put me on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, you know, and then they put me on in the morning, 6 a.m. to 10. So I'm able to go on dialysis, do what I got to do, and then go and enjoy my recovery. Because, like, this stuff right here charges me.
That's right.
You know, for once, used to be a hobby, became a lifestyle. Okay. Like, Narcotics Anonymous is a lifestyle. This is not a hobby for me. You know, I don't go to meetings and conventions and that, you know, for fun.
Right.
This is a lifestyle.
Right.
I do this for a living. You know, I got people in my life that, like, this is some serious business. Staying clean is serious business.
Right. That's right.
This is not a joke. And I do this because my life is at stake. You know, and I practice these principles and I put them in my spirit and I try to practice them with all I got. And I share with others everything that I got. Everything that I got in Narcotics Anonymous is nothing if I can't share it with nobody else. And everybody know about me knows that I'm not one for bullshit. I'm allergic to bullshit. I have a low tolerance for it. I got a bullshit meter that just goes the fuck off inside of me. Every time it gets close. And I'm not no better than nobody else, man. But listen, man. I sit on a dialysis machine 3 times a week, 4 hours at a time. And I really ain't got time for you not getting to the point.
That's right, bro.
You know, I take medicine. I take high blood pressure medicine. So I really don't need nobody else's bullshit. God told me the other day, right? He called me up, man, and he was telling me about a relationship.
Wow.
I am the last person in Narcotics Anonymous. And I'm not saying this to degrade my stuff, but I'm just telling you, I am not the relationship guy. Everything that you probably are doing in Narcotics Anonymous in relationships, the only thing I probably could tell you is me too. So that will relieve our long, drawn-out conversation. So I told my friend in the car, we gonna go on this note, right? Like I was in this treatment program, right? And the guy did this in the treatment program. I thought it was real cute. I want y'all to work with me here, right? I got 3 things I want to say, and when I say, I want y'all to say, addicted. Okay? Yeah, now to follow direction here?
Right.
Money.
Addicted.
Sex.
Addicted.
Men.
Addicted.
What hit you in the mouth?